Beyond Basketball Podcast, the Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, the weekend is over and the season is almost over. How's it going?
That was the fastest intro I think you've done this year.
I know, I'm really just trying to piss people off with it.
Just ripping through it.
You know what the show is because you clicked it.
There's a big title on the top of the page.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to name this episode. You know what the show is, you clicked it.
I'm doing well. It was a nice Easter weekend. I'm getting excited for it. March is over, which is usually a pretty terrible month. The heat kind of made it interesting, but other than that, it's a pretty terrible month. We've got less than 3 weeks to playoffs, and so I'm very excited that we're going to be getting to the games that matter. We got to deal with another 18 days of miserable who cares, and then we can actually start with the games that count.
The only thing that's like keeping me away from that attitude necessarily is I am excited to see how the eighth seed in the West shakes out. I actually don't really care about the 3-4-5 anymore in the West. I'm just kind of like, whatever it is. I don't really care. But to see if the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs or to see if Dallas can sneak in, like that, I'm legitimately excited about that. I normally don't really care.
I think I'm interested in the 2-3. That's in the East. That's what I'm interested in.
Okay.
I'm interested in who's going to wind up getting home court in that second round.
These New York Knicks.
Hey, man. Row. Look, if J.R. Smith keeps getting to the rim like this, I'm not going to be able to make fun of him anymore.
Right.
He's going back on the six-man list on baseline today.
It's funny because he's been so J.R. Smithy for so long, but it's with awards, you can, like I always get a little annoyed when people are like, oh, well, he was good last week. That should put him back in. But this is like a legitimate case because not only has he been good the last week or so, but it's been such an impact that it has impacted the team and it's lifted them up. And so I think he should deserve special consideration in the playoff race or in the award race because of it.
Well, I mean, it's been 8 games.
Yeah.
Like all 8 games of this winning streak have been him getting to the rim. And if he was just doing J.R. Smith stuff and happened to be on a hot streak, I'd still be like, no, sorry, this is going to end. And then I still think this is going to end. He's going to go back to doing everything that he does. That's who he is. I don't believe he can change at this point.
Yeah,
but
as long as he's playing like this,
I'll reward him for it.
Yeah, in the finals, he'll revert back.
Right.
He'll get him there. He'll get him to the finals, though.
Clearly. Knicks fans are irritated because they played really well in the 8-game winning streak. I want to point out that the Boston wins are really not like standard Boston wins. Even without Rondo, and KG, like Terrence Williams and Shavley Randolph are getting serious minutes here. They're beating the teams they're supposed to, and they are. I've never argued that the Knicks can't beat the teams that they're supposed to. My only question is, can they beat the teams that are in that tier of, you know, Indiana, and even really now, I would say Brooklyn, Chicago.
Yeah.
A healthy Celtics, which we're not going to see this year. You know, what's going to end up happening as far as that goes. But I think as far as, you know, they have won, and they'd be a very good Grizzlies team. So, you know, props to them. Play them well. JR's back on the six-man list. 40% shooter is on my six-man list, which makes me a little uncomfortable with life, but I'll deal with it. So.
You mentioned a very good Grizzlies team, and I did get a chance to see him up close on Saturday night. And
third quarter defense.
I think I've watched every game of theirs. Maybe I missed a couple this year, but they're one of those teams where I'm so fascinated by Marc Gasol and the way they play defense that I've made sure to try to catch just about everything with them. But seeing it up close is just a different animal. Like it's incredible how they trick you into going into the paint, and then they just like swipe the ball away. I mean, it was impressive to see.
I gotta stop freaking out over their starts. I get so panicked that they're gonna just after watching them be terrible for so long. I'm so used to it's one of those games, and they just don't have it. And this has been a team that really has shown that they will get it in gear and get it together and improve. And even you know, they gave up a 900% shooting percentage versus the Knicks in the first half and then came back to make that a game.
Yeah.
They get themselves in gear. And, they still should not have been that far down in that game. But, against the Wolves, I really was like, oh, this is going to be one of those games. And then it wasn't one of those games. And I'm like, I need to start giving them more credit and be more patient with them.
Yeah.
And not assume that they're going to play stupid after, just because they had a stupid first quarter. Because they have lots of stupid first quarters.
The Wolves, I mean, they came out and played really good basketball. And it wasn't even like, oh, Memphis just isn't trying or anything. Like, the Wolves just played, they played really smart basketball. And this is without Peck, without Love. I mean, it was a good effort. Derek Williams, I thought, had a really solid game, especially considering he was going against Zach Randolph. Greg Steensma played the best game I've ever seen him play. He played 40 minutes, and he was not just good for Greg Steensma, but he looked like a starting center for that game. Now, I'm not saying he's a starting center. He's definitely not. But for that one game, he had a great night. And I looked up during the game the net differential for the Grizzlies quarter by quarter. And in the first quarter, they're like minus 3.3. Like, they are always down at the end of the first quarter. And in the second quarter, they're like plus 10, which is second in the league. And in the third quarter, they're like plus 12.5, which is first in the league. And it's just like that second unit comes in and they play really good defense, and it seems to get them going. It seems to get the team going to where when you come back from halftime, whatever adjustments they've made, they're just locked in and they just crumble your offense.
We're going to know by game three of their first round series whether or not which Zach Randolph is going to be available, and that's going to be a huge swing in terms of whether or not they're able to get out of that series.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he had a good game the other night. And I'm not sure if that was a Minnesota game. I know he played well in one of the games. And that's been like the first signs of him being alive in a while.
Yeah, I think he had like 14-7 against the Wolves, but yeah. No offensive rebounds, which is weird.
So he's got to do a little bit better. But I tend to think that he's probably still saving himself. He's banged up. I know he's banged up. He was talking. He didn't specifically list injuries, but he talked about how he had several injuries that were giving him some problems when I talked to him. So I think he's probably still resting, I'm hoping. But, because if he's good, not great, they're not going to go far enough.
Yeah, they really need him to be locked in.
Because I can't, as much as I love Marc Gasol and he's my favorite player to watch in the NBA, Gasol is just simply not going to give you 25-8 a night. He's just right. Neither of those numbers are likely. So.
And listening to Rick Adelman talk about Gasol, like, he was just glowing. Right. Like just and it makes sense because Gasol is the exact type of big man that would fit perfectly in Adelman's system. So it would make sense that he was just like, oh, this guy can do whatever you need him to do.
So Kevin Love may not come back.
Yeah, I've heard conflicting things. I've heard people saying, no, he's definitely going to get back for the last handful of games, and I've heard people say, no, this is just lip service. So I really don't know what to believe within the organization.
And then I did, over the weekend, I did a post on report coming out that the Wolves are set to go ahead and pick up Conn's one-year option.
Yeah. That's Glenn Taylor. Yeah. Glenn Taylor is oddly loyal.
And I probably should have written more about this, which is it's okay if they pick up the year option on him and see how next year goes. And if everybody is healthy and the team performs to expectations, and then it could be like, oh, winning heals everything and all the rifts are fixed and everything works out okay because you've still got another year after that before Love is free agent. Right.
Yeah, I disagree with that logic because David Kahn is terrible at his job and you can look at individual moves here and there and say, oh, look, they're better. They're now better than when he took over, and that's true. But most of that came after Adelman came in, gave Kahn his 1 year of the Anthony Randolphs and Wes Johnson and Michael Beasley's and Darko Milicic, and then kind of took over the grocery list of players he wanted in the offseason. And that's when the team talent really turned. And David Kahn came in and he was asked to. Part of it's unfair because David Kahn, when he came in, his job was to save the Timberwolves money while they rebuilt. And he did that. He did that in spades. But he also ended up having to take over a lot of personnel stuff that I don't think he thought he was going to have to do, and he's just not good at that. And so he's been much like the Timberwolves throughout their injuries, he was put in a position to try to succeed where his strengths just aren't there.
Yeah.
And that sucks, but he's also alienated so many things around and inside the organization that it's unfortunate that Glenn Taylor is so loyal. And Glenn Taylor is, by all accounts, like just a great guy. Like, just a really great guy. And if you do right by him, he will do right by you. And that is an exceptional quality, but it doesn't always work out in business.
No, it's a terrible thing. And with these situations, with as many things that go into kind of, you know, being a manager of an NBA team, I just, and that's my biggest problem with Leonsis and Grunfeld is I'm just like.
And the thing about keeping him around a year and how it doesn't really hurt, I don't think it hurts in terms of the love situation. I think it hurts in terms of a struggle to get Glenn Taylor's ear for where the organization needs to go, because David Kahn does not want to keep Peck around. And Rick Adelman does, just based on what I've heard. And if that's the case, this is your most important offseason in a very long time, where you can either keep a potential playoff team intact, or you might end up screwing everything up and Adelman may leave and then Peck leaves and then Kirilenko opts out and you're left with crap again. I mean, not crap. They still have pretty good players with, you know, Derek Williams has been really good the last 3 months. Kevin Love would still be under contract for a couple of years. Ricky Rubio is still there. Like, they still have talent, but you've taken 4 steps back, and that's why I think it's a mistake.
And obviously the biggest thing is for, you know, when we talk about this stuff, is for Adelman to make sure that everything's okay with his wife.
Yes, absolutely.
That situation, and I don't want to be insensitive to that in any way, but that's the number one priority, and it should be the number, you know, that should come first, and not only for him, but people's minds, that that should always be the overriding thing. However, and because we talk about basketball and there is a huge impact here, that's like the nightmare scenario, right, is that Adelman leaves and then Kahn gets more control and puts in a puppet coach, and then you've got like the same situation that you had a couple of years with Rambis, only you've got Kahn trying to direct more attention to Rubio and then Love getting more surly and the pieces don't fit, and it's just like it's a whole disaster again. That's
right,
like,
and I don't think it would be a thing of Love wants more attention than Rubio. Love just doesn't like David Kahn. Like
I think he would find an insult in the fact, because it's one where I think Love does care about the respect issue.
He cares about the league of respect and the respect from the organization, for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, and then people kind of misunderstand that. It's like, you know, I think Russell Westbrook's a great example of this, where, and he's actually done really good about just being like, fine, whatever. Like, he could have, I kind of thought Westbrook would get worse as the year's gone on. He's really kind of gotten better, where he's like, no, it's fine, it's cool. Like, that, everyone's going to say Kevin's awesome and I'm the problem all the time.
Right.
That's fine. I've got him on my most underrated point guard for this year for baseline column that I'm coming up. But he could have been a real problem, but I think that the biggest thing was for him, it's respect. It's, look, I've played this well. You know, why is all of the positive attention go towards one guy and none of it goes towards me?
Right.
And I can understand how that would get frustrating for a player. I feel that way with you sometimes. All the positive attention goes towards Zach. Oh, he wrote such a good thing. Oh, this is great. Oh, he wrote the podcast so well. What about me?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, raise your hand if you've had people praising the video work you've done this year. My hand's not up. Your hands are way up in the air.
I don't know. Some of those videos you put together are pretty amazing.
Yeah, where I have Kyrie Irving as a pirate.
Yes, that was amazing.
I'm talking about actual basketball analysis.
So we're talking about stupidity. And speaking of stupidity, good God, DeMarcus Cousins.
Now, where you say stupidity, I say genius. That was amazing.
It's just, you know, the first one, okay, but he took the second one. That's what I can't figure out is why he took the second one.
Well, after the first one, you feel loose.
He got blocked on the first one.
Exactly. He didn't know if it was going to go in. So you don't know if it was a good or bad shot.
And he got fouled, and man, Kings fans were like, well, he got fouled. And I'm like, I don't care. It's DeMarcus Cousins taking a three.
Two. Taking two threes.
Two threes. They could have won that game. They really could have won that game.
I know. It was awesome. Oh. It was really great.
Oh. So the Lakers remain tied with Utah, but back because of the tiebreaker.
Them Utah Jazz.
Utah catches Brooklyn on the back-to-back. NBA, I'm just going to tell you this right now. Look, I don't care how convenient it is. We got to stop with this. You're at the end of a six-game road streak and a road trip, and we're putting you in Denver and Utah on a back-to-back. Like that, don't do that.
That kind of sucks.
Don't do that. Because it's almost one where don't force me to give Denver and Utah less credit because I almost have to. Because I'm just like, well, at the end of the road trip, they played really well. They got, you know, the Nets got into Denver at 4 o'clock in the morning on Thursday and then played on Friday. And yeah, they had a day, but it's at the end of the road trip and they played well. Denver's a really good team. And then you have to go to Utah. And it's like Utah's, you know, has gotten itself together a little bit. They're starting to pull themselves out of the hole.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it holds.
The thing you mentioned about, like, they had a day. People say, well, they had a day to get rest. And, yeah, that's true, and sometimes that works. But, like, these guys are professional athletes that need their body finely tuned. And to get in somewhere at 4 in the morning, you're probably not getting into your hotel until 4:30 or 5, which means you're not in bed and asleep until, like, 5:30. It screws up your clock. Like, yeah, you have a day to make up for that. But now your entire, like, sleep cycle and your routine is off. And, they're paid to get through that and to deal with it, and they're paid well.
But it doesn't impact the outcome.
Yeah, but and there are times where that won't matter, where they'll be able to get their body right, but sometimes you just don't, and that's got to suck.
You realize that Kevin Love could end up in, like, pretty much deciding the eight?
Yeah, because I think they play Utah twice?
Twice, between the 9th and the 15th.
Yeah.
It's twice in 6 days. They play as back to and. No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. They're playing back to back. It's the 12th and the 15th.
Yeah,
it's a home and away.
And that's Kevin Love against Al Jefferson, who he once feuded with. Oh wait, no, that was just a bogus report by reporter.
By a reporter.
They actually were quite fine with each other and are good friends to this day.
So Utah's got Portland tonight. They've got
that's Denver. A sneaky tough game.
They've got Denver on the road, which Denver's extremely tough on the road, and they haven't played Denver well this year. Then they've got—I'm sorry—they're at home for Denver. Sorry, they're at home for Denver, and they're at home for New Orleans, and then they're at Golden State. It's gonna be tight, man.
That's a tough stretch, and like they just don't match up well against Denver at all. I don't think.
I don't either. We'll see how Denver does on the road. That's a long layoff for Denver, too. They played on Friday, and they don't play again until Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, and then the Lakers, this is interesting. Tomorrow they've got Dallas in what is looking to be a huge game.
Yep.
Then the Lakers have Memphis, the Clippers, New Orleans, Portland, Golden State, San Antonio, Houston.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Now, San Antonio and Houston, Pop's going to be resting at that point. I've looked at the schedule. It looks to me like they play them on the 14th. I think I have by the 12th, San Antonio should have locked up the one.
How about that Chris Bosh game last night?
How about that Chris Bosh?
That was I only watched 25 seconds of the game, but that was a fun game for me to watch for 25 seconds.
I think it's hilarious that both teams have now won without their stars. Or not won, but like played tight without their stars. It's just kind of funny. Makes you wonder, like, do we really even need the stars? Like, let's just...
Well, I guess you can feel this. Maybe it's correct. Maybe I'm just too cynical. But people are saying, like, well, now, I mean, Pop's going to regret all these losses to Miami if they're opening game one of the finals in Miami. And I was like, well, he'll probably be pretty happy that they're in the finals, and he's Popovich, so I think he'll just deal with it. I don't think he'll care too much.
Well, one, that means he's going to be, like, freaking out because they finally beat OKC.
Right.
Not finally, but because they knocked off OKC. And then my other thing is, oh, no, not Miami's massive home court advantage. However, will they deal with the noise?
Well, I don't know that it's so much noise as routine, and Miami doesn't lose at home.
Miami doesn't lose anywhere. So that one's really interesting to look at. Man, the Mavericks, you know, they had a disappointing loss to the Pacers.
That was a tough one.
And then bounced back against Chicago. I thought they were dead in the water. I really, after when Nate Robb hit 7 threes, I thought it was over. And Dirk, man, Dirk looked like Dirk.
They
finally figured out how to get him the ball.
Yeah, it's weird. A giant 7-foot target.
They finally figured out a way to get him the ball.
You know what the key was? They figured out if you get the ball to hit that area with the 5 pointy things, those 5 pointy things, they grasp it. And then, funny enough, they also project the ball towards the rim. So it's this weird thing. Pro tip out there. I don't want to give up too much scouting, but if you get into the 5 pointy things, things can happen.
So the Mavs have got the Lakers tomorrow, which is like a must win for them, just to keep pace. And then they turn around and they're at Denver on Thursday.
Yeah.
They've got Sacramento, Portland, Phoenix. So they can make up some ground there. I mean, this one may go down to the wire. It would not shock me. I think Mavericks might. I think if the Mavericks lose tomorrow night, you know, that puts them a full 2.5 games back.
Yeah, that might be pretty tough to do.
That would be rough. I don't know. They can make up 2.5.
God, the Lakers. Lakers have the hardest road of the three teams, right?
Well,
I guess it depends on if Kevin Love is back from Minnesota, because then Utah would have a very tough road.
Dallas's last 4 games are Denver, New Orleans, Memphis, New Orleans. 3 of those are at home.
Yeah,
but New Orleans is squirrely. Sneaky tough.
They're squirrely.
Yeah, they're squirrely. That's a great term for it. Denver, even though it's Denver on the road, Denver's still a really tough team and is better than them. And Memphis is better than them.
It's like my grandpa used to say, squirrely like a pelican. He never said that.
I'm going to tell my grandchildren.
But now I think that just became a thing.
I'm setting a reminder on my iPhone for 2036. And then, you know, the Lakers, the Spurs game and the Rockets game, maybe, I think the Rockets will probably have locked up 7 by then, because I think Golden State's going to lock up the 6 in the next week or so. And so the Rockets won't have much to play for, so they could be facing, their last 2 games could be against tank teams.
Yeah.
Like, resting teams. So it really comes down to if the Lakers can be, I mean, the big thing is this week, right? So they've got Dallas, Memphis, the Clippers. They got to win 2 of 3.
Right.
They couldn't lose that game on Saturday, and that was one I was getting annoyed because Lakers fans were like, that's a big win. I was like, it's the Kings. If your big win is against the Kings, you have problems. I know we know they have problems, but come on. The big games are Dallas, Memphis, Clippers. If they take 2 of 3, they're going to be in great position.
Yeah, but that was a rivalry 10 years ago.
Right. It's like it's the Kings, and you need DeMarcus Cousins to shoot 2 threes.
Two fantastic, glorious threes.
Fantastically stupid, contested threes.
This isn't going to make any sense to anybody, because I don't think anyone's seen this movie, but I'm in the process of like watching 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there on my DVR. There's this movie called Live with Eva Mendes, and it's from like 06 or 07, in which she's a TV executive that is trying to get this reality TV show where 6 people compete, 5 win money, and the 6th one has to play Russian roulette on air.
What?
Yeah. I saw the description on the movie channel. I was like, oh, I'm recording this. And it's like shot in like the documentary style where like, oh, a camera crew is following around this executive. And so there's all these like, they leave the room but leave the camera on for the conversation and stuff. And I don't know. It's mildly clever. But the fact that, like, all these people, like, want her to fail. They're setting her up to fail by letting her go, like, do her own thing. It's a lot like watching DeMarcus Cousins play basketball. Like, I feel like people are just like, eh, screw it. Let him do what he wants. Maybe he'll decide this isn't for him and he'll go away.
Keith Smart, after the game, said that, in fact, was not part of the game plan.
Well, yeah, if you get a chance, I'm seriously only like 30 minutes into this movie, but it's fascinatingly bad. Live, Eva Mendes.
Brooklyn is now 4.5 back in New York, so I think New York's pretty much got this locked up.
Yeah.
For the division, that's puts them at 46.
I'm starting to wonder if the Bulls can even catch Brooklyn for the four. I mean, they're only a game and a half back, but
Brooklyn's been playing better. That Utah-Denver was, like we talked about, that was a schedule problem. I like how Brooklyn's playing right now.
They do face each other Thursday. That'll probably decide just how in the race Denver is. I mean, Chicago. But Chicago does have a fairly easy schedule, but there are enough tough games in there. Like, they face the Knicks, they face Miami, they face Washington twice, who's been good, they face Brooklyn. Like, enough tough games to where they could just decide to rest. Oh, wait, Thibodeau's the coach. They're never going to rest.
Never, ever going to rest. Well, what's also interesting is, you know, Rose could come back, they could struggle. Or Rose could come back, and all of a sudden it's just like, bam, like they just take off running. The emotional surge of getting him back kicks them into high gear. They take over Brooklyn for the four and get home court advantage and sets up Miami in the second round.
I've decided that I want Derrick Rose back, which wasn't something I was doubting before, but not to see him play basketball, but to see Nate Robinson play basketball beside him.
The dual point guard.
I want to see how Nate Robinson adjusts to having one of the best players in the league playing next to him, and like if he's going to say, oh, I'll defer here, or I've had it going this season, I think maybe I'll take the shot.
I just thought he was going to be another option to help me score.
Right, maybe he goes Ricky Davis.
The Knicks magic number is 6, which sounds high, but given that New York's been on a winning streak and Brooklyn's like, that's basically New York wins 4, Brooklyn loses 2, and they've got it.
Yeah.
So that one's pretty locked. Indiana's for the division is 4, so they're even in better shape.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I mean, I know we know all these things. I'm trying to look at these things now for when teams get to quit trying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of starting to look at is, you know, when can you pull a Heat and just start resting your guys? Because that impacts the playoffs when these teams play teams that are still fighting for it. Oklahoma City should have theirs by the 12th is kind of what I looked at. That's the max it would take them. Like, Denver goes in the tank, they'll be over much sooner, but they'll have those locked up. I'm still interested in that 3-4-5. I think that it's interesting. The Clippers having a tiebreaker because of them being a division winner is really going to be interesting with this, because you can definitely see that happening.
Yeah.
Denver manages to tie the Clippers and loses despite the head-to-head success because of the division winner rule.
I was catching up on old Basketball Jones podcasts because I actually like to just kind of binge on them and not do like a daily listen. And they were talking about the whole George Karl comments, and we never really talked about it, about how he wants just the top 8 teams from each conference in, and then they reseed, and they do a 1-16. And then there's the whole conversation that lots of people have had before of, do you even need conferences and divisions? And I say, you definitely need conferences because of the travel schedule. But I wonder, like, I think we should get rid of divisions. Like, I'm fine just having the conference, but, like, we should get rid of divisions because they don't mean anything. And it sets less successful franchises up to be embarrass themselves when they, like, win the division. They have the division banner hanging in the rafters.
Right.
I feel like we should get rid of divisions for sure. I'm fine keeping like 1-8. Like, I don't think you need to just take the top 16 teams in the league. Like, I'm fine with conferences and taking the top 8 from there. And if they wanted to reseed and make it one big giant tournament, like, that would be cool, but I don't think that's necessary. But division's got to go.
I'm of the opposite position because, one, it's not so much that I care about divisions, it's just that they won't get rid of it because they do sell those division t-shirts.
Right.
And that's like, if the NBA can make $14 off of those t-shirts, they're going to do it.
Right.
So I think that's okay. I wish that there was a little bit more of a rivalry with the South. Because like, the Southwest division is one where if you win that division, you should hang a banner. That's a tough-ass division.
Yeah.
Like, the Spurs do it, and they don't care because they have like a million of them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the Northwest and the Southwest, those are two very tough divisions. If the Lakers got their stuff together, the Pacific would be more impressive with them, Golden State and the Clippers.
But no one will remember that in like 10 years and they'll look at those banners.
Exactly.
So I get what you're saying there. I do want them, you know, Carl said, he's like, actually with private chartered planes, I feel like there's not really a travel issue. He's like, I don't think that's a big deal. And the other thing he said is just give them another day. And I think I'm actually okay with that.
Well, it wouldn't be. I think it's. I mean, from just a logistical standpoint, I've never been in that line of business, so I don't know. But I feel like setting up TV crews and stuff like that, like that's gotta be really hard.
Yeah, but everything's so in place, and you've got local crews that you can call on. I don't know. I feel like you can probably pull it off. I would really like to see it be conference neutral just because I love the idea of these matchups. I just think that these get so much more interesting when you throw in the different kind of teams that you would see.
Yeah.
I just think that those would be really interesting. Like, I want the possibility of these weird-ass matchups.
A lot of this would be a lot more feasible if they got rid of 14 games in the regular season.
Yeah, and I'll keep saying anybody can talk to the players into taking 14 games less. In terms of per pay, you know, per game pay, go with it. But they're never going to go for it, you know.
Why not just keep the salaries the same and just pay them more per game?
Yeah, the owners will love that idea. That will go over swimmingly.
Oh, I think they've always shown a willingness to negotiate.
I mean, I can't blame either side in that. I can't blame the players are like, well, yeah, I wish it was shorter. I've actually asked off the record. I've been like, well, would you be willing to? And they're like, no, I would not. Are you crazy? Do you know how much I get paid? You know, and the owners, I can't blame them. Like, you want me to pay you more for less work? You know,
like, it's weird. Though. Like, why I set it up like every 2 weeks? Like, don't do game by game. Set it up like a regular job.
Well, I mean, I think they get paid on the similar kind of
schedule. No, but I know, but you know what I mean, like.
Yeah, that's the thing is if you don't think of it like that, because it's not like they get paid. In their contracts, it's not you get paid $80,000 or whatever per game.
Right.
It's just you get paid X for the year, and that's why, you know, if you don't play because you're injured, some of these guys do play 66 games and still get paid the same amount.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Tim Duncan, even though he's not injured, is going to end up making that kind of a rate.
Right.
But if I were the owner of a business and that was the kind of thing I would be upset about too. What you really need, and I'm going to try and prepare you for my Brooke Lopez, which is going to be the geekiest, nerdiest thing ever written.
Am I even going to understand any of it?
No. Well, no, I'm splitting it into two pieces. So the top part's going to be all basketball. And so you get I'm doing this for you specifically. So you can just read the top part and then stop when I start talking about comic books with him. Like, it just, there'll be a little line that says, Zach, you can stop reading now.
If you include that, that would be fantastic. I'm sure the editors would go for that.
And so, so there's this thing in comic books where it's called a retcon, where like everything is basically gets reverted back to a certain state and then changes everything. And that's like what you need here. You need a retcon to where the owners are just like, oh, it's fine that we'll pay you the same amount of money for this different set of games. That's the only way it would ever happen. I mean, I think the players really, I think some players probably would go for it. They'd be like, I could live with a million less a year, but, or not even a million, like 800,000 or whatever less a year. But most of them, nope, they want the money. So
I just really needed TBJ producer Matt Austin to just drop in the My Little Nerdlings drop there.
But yeah, so I wish that we had the kind of the division stuff, or division neutral, conference neutral, just put everybody in a tournament, let's play. That'd be great.
Yeah.
What do you think of Simmons' whole idea that they laughed, like, Wilbon and Jalen Rose laughed about it, I think, on Friday night on Countdown, about his idea for the tournament for the 8th seed?
I think it's a fun idea. I think it's kind of a nightmare to really to really do it from a business and logistical standpoint. Like, not that they couldn't make money off of it. I just think it's a little too complicated.
So much work.
Yeah, like that's a lot of work. I feel, you know, you're kind of asking teams to play extra games, which isn't fair. Like, I think it sounds like a really fun idea, and if they could figure out a way to do it, I'd be all for it. But I could see why the league would be like, why the hell do we want that headache of figuring that out? Like, we've got a system that works right now.
Yeah. I think that the league is the thing. I think the players would go for it because they probably get playoff revenue.
Right.
So they'd be okay with it.
Right.
His point about this year, though, is really interesting with the Wolves in particular. Like, you know, wouldn't it be really cool if Rubio and Love were able to get it together and Wolves finally got healthy and made a run and we got to see what this team would have been?
Yeah, because, I mean, I really, like, I'm not, this isn't just me being a homer. If they would, I have a feeling they would bring Love back for sure. And this team's actually playing pretty well since Chase Budinger came back. And if you add Love to that, and, you know, Rubio's playing the best of any time in his career in the States or over in Europe, like, he's really been really good lately. I think they would be a lock to win that.
Yeah, I think they definitely win the eight. You know, yeah. And I like Washington to come out from the East.
That doesn't sound crazy at all.
Yeah. And then even though, like, the Heat are going to smoke them in four, at least you got John Wall, Nene, Okafor.
Bradley Beal,
but, you know, going inside against a team that has problems with teams that go inside. So, yeah. You know, it's unlikely that they'd be able to even win a game, but if they could, that'd be great.
But even,
you know,
getting that playoff experience for those guys would be cool.
Yeah, you know. And the momentum, you've got to factor in the momentum because they're going to come in with way more momentum than Milwaukee's going to.
Because especially, like, John Wall has never played in a meaningful game, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd be able to take away that knock where people will, next year you'll talk about, oh, John Wall was so good and he led the team, you know, after he came back from injury. And they'll be like, oh, he's never played in a meaningful game, it doesn't matter, which is just a stupid, stupid argument. If someone gives you that argument, check your state laws, but slap them in the mouth. I think it's okay.
Check your state laws. Talk to your congressman.
Yeah, slap them right in the mouth.
Like, Milwaukee, I like a lot. They've been my favorite league pass team this year, but I hate this, them being in the eight. I'm just like, wow, this is like the worst possible matchup for them. I like them against Chicago. I like them against Atlanta. I like them against Indiana or Brooklyn. I don't want to see Milwaukee versus either New York or the Knicks, or Miami.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in seeing that. It's going to make me sad because everyone's just going to make jokes about how terrible the Bucks are. And I'm like, they were pretty good this year. they're two games under 500, but still.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do games tonight.
Let's do it. I'll be at one of them.
So, big one. Clippers. They've been screwing around a lot lately. And they, for some reason, will not put away Golden State to win the freaking division.
Yeah.
Their magic number remains at two. They've got they're 4-point favorites tonight versus the Pacers at home.
I don't know. Pacers, that's Roy Hibbert. They're on some Viking-ish right now.
You did drop a Vikings reference the other day with the Pacers.
He said that. He said, we're on some Viking-ish. We come into your town, take care of business, get out of there. Like,
and they, that's incredible.
And they are. Yeah, I love Roy Hibbert. And he's right. Like, I looked at it. I did a post on it yesterday. You know, they started the year, the first month of the year, they were 4-6 on the road. Second month, they were 4-4. It looks like they're getting better. Then they dropped to 2-6 in January. And then since then, February through now, they're 8-3, and not just 8-3, but they're blowing teams out. Like, they're plus, like, almost 12 per 100 possessions in, you know, during this time. Like, they're just killing teams on the road.
I'm taking the Clippers. I'm going to try and stay with them.
Try to stay with them. You've been mocking me for staying with them.
I know. I'm trying to come to your side. I'm trying to be like, okay, maybe they'll get this together.
Which is odd, because I'm taking the Pacers. I'm taking the Vikings.
You and I are both strong on the Pacers, though. I think you and I are both...
Yeah.
You and I are in the same place, and that second round series is going to be a lot of fun to debate.
So. It really is. I'm excited. I'm just excited to watch. I like watching the Pacers now. Like I've been a big George Hill fan since he came in the league. I'm coming around on Paul George. I'm still not sold on Paul George, and I know people think that's crazy, but I don't know. I see a lot of holes that he could easily fix, but I just see a lot of holes right now. I'm all in on Roy Hibbert. You know that. I'm all in on David West.
If you were to rank all-stars by their handle, you'd put Paul George last, right?
Just behind Joakim Noah.
This is supposed to be a big game. Grizzlies-Spurs. I feel like it's a trap game for Memphis. I feel like they're going to get... I really do feel like they're going to get walloped.
No Manu, though? Right?
Does everyone realize Manu hasn't really been... He's been around for like 4 games this year in terms of being Manu.
Yeah,
the rest of the time, he is insert role player here.
Right, but I think that he's important in that matchup against the Grizzlies. I could be overthinking this.
I think Duncan's important in their matchup against the Grizzlies. If Duncan sits, then the Grizzlies will win. But
yeah, what's the line?
It's Grizzlies 5.5 favorites.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, normally I would be like, oh, that's ridiculous, take the Spurs, but... We've had a lot of games lately where we're like, oh, that's a weird line. Maybe something's up. I feel like something's going to be up. Like, 4 hours from now, it'll be like, oh, right, that's why. So I'm going to go Grizzlies.
The Bucks are 12-point favorites versus the Bobcats. We know how that goes.
Sounds about right.
Raptors are favored by 6 over Detroit, who's been horrible.
Yeah. They got Drummond back, though.
Yeah, it's like Toronto's been awful. Has been awful bad, too. They lost to Washington. Nah, stay away from that game. The Jazz are favored by 9 at home versus Portland, took them long enough, but Portland's finally, oh, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I like the Jazz at home. That 9's a lot, though.
It is a lot, but I just feel like Portland looked at the mirror game. Portland had that moment. They're coming out of the locker room, and they're like, oh, look, not. Oh no, we're the Blazers. Oh, we should have like 35 wins. Oh, God. Oh, we can't make the playoffs?
Playoffs?
No.
Now all I picture is Damian Lillard with Jim Mora's voice.
Playoffs. The Hawks are favored by 10 versus Cleveland. That's a never trust the Hawks, Cavs cover game.
Right. Kyrie's back. He looked good. I don't like that line.
Yeah, I'm taking Cavs. Your Wolves are 4-point favorites versus the Celtics.
Get the hell out of here. What is that?
And it opened at 3.
What?
It's gotten bigger.
What?
No KG, no Rondo, no Sullinger. I keep saying no Barbosa until I've... realize and remember that they traded Barbosa's contract for Jordan Crawford.
Right. Well, I mean, still no Barbosa.
All right.
Also, no D. Brown. No no Mark Blunt.
No Ricky Davis.
No Michael Olowokandi.
Oh, I forgot that one. Oh. Boston looked completely outclassed versus New York last night.
I do... Oh God! I can't believe it. I think all right. I'm on board. I'll go with the Wolves -4.
It makes you sick to say that, doesn't it?
Well, just I feel like I'm being set up for something.
Oh, it's like it's some sort of joke, like a joke that.
Oh, let's talk about no. Let's talk about that. All right, this.
Oh God!
I'm literally
backing away from the microphone.
Right now. You should. You might want to leave the room, and I'll text you when it's okay to come back in. I have an appreciation for comedy. I am not that funny, but I'm kind of a stand-up comedy nerd. I really like stand-up comedians. I just love good comedy, like not like scary movie crap, but like really like smart good comedy, and not hipster comedy, like just good stuff, funny stuff, good setups. Stuff like that. This April Fool's thing, with the way the internet takes it, drives me insane. We have had emails in this email thread today about the post of, oh, we found a 710 center from China, or oh, Andrea Bargnani got an extension, or oh, look at this terrible joke I'm going to make because it's April Fool's. April Fool's is not a thing where you need to make a stupid post that says, oh, Kevin Love is an alien, like April Fool's. I don't need, like, that is, that just, it craps on the face of comedy. Craps right on it. I don't like it, and it needs to stop. And I haven't looked yet, but I know, like, SB Nation usually has, like, a string of things, and it's probably mandated, and I know it's not their fault, but they're better than that. They're a very good network. They're better than having their blogs go across the network. True Network is better than that. Like, you don't need to do it. You don't need these joke posts. That's my piece.
I think the problem is that...
The problem is it's not funny.
No, the problem is that it's not funny, but the reason it's not funny is this. It only works if people are unaware, and the internet makes everyone aware of everything.
Right.
You can't be unaware, and even if you were to not log on Twitter, Facebook, you're going to be constantly aware that it's April Fool's, and so you're going to be constantly... So you can't fool anyone. That's the joke. It's not that it's like some fake thing. It's that you're supposed to be like, oh, hey, this happened, and then everyone freaks out, and you go, aha, I got you.
Yeah.
You can't get anyone on the internet.
April Fool's someone on February 26th. How about that? Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm gonna run up to a guy in the grocery store today. I'm gonna punch him in the stomach and yell April Fools and then run out of there. And let's see how funny that is. That sounds funny. That sounds hilarious.
And what's worse is that we're gonna get all of these. You know, you talked about the emails. I'm gonna get specific people on Twitter trying to advocate their posts to get them attention.
Right.
She's like, oh, link this. This is really funny. I'm like, don't know. No. I don't know. If you write something funny on March 16th, I might look at it, but. No. So weird.
And yes,
basketball podcast, Big Control podcast is vehemently against April 1st. Well,
the entire day they should take it out, like the 13th floor at a hotel.
Just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And we're going to get, oh, you're curmudgeons or oh, you're snobs or whatever. Fine. Whatever gets rid of it. That's what I'll be.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Rockets are 12.5-point favorites versus the Magic.
Yeah, I agree. They are. That sounds about right to me.
That sounds
is
right.
Is Harden playing? Harden's playing, right?
Yeah, Harden's playing.
Yeah, all right.
Oh. So, Alive. Or is it just Live?
No, it's just Live.
Just Live.
Starting...
So, like, the show is Live. That's, like, the gag.
Yeah, because what... Or maybe it's Live. It might be Live. There's an exclamation point in there. That's why I thought it was Live. But,
great questions of our time.
Yeah. Who is... Not Kenneth Branagh... Who's the... Andre Bauer. Two completely different people.
Dude, Andre not the same at all. Sorry.
Andre Brower? Is it Brower or Bauer? It's Brower, right? There's an R in there?
Yeah.
He's in it, which angers me, because he was on an FX miniseries called Thief that I watched, and I want 8 hours of my life back, because that was really awful. So I've always held that grudge against him. But even despite him, you should watch the movie. The first 30 minutes are fascinating. And Eva Mendes. She's nice.
And Eric Lively in Live.
Well, that's it. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Zach.